Whose interests are served by a so-called slut walk, a parade of women in exaggeratedly revealing outfits with the stated purpose of changing public attitudes toward rape? Rape victims are often shamed for the way they were dressed when they were attacked, and a slut walk is designed as a deliberate provocation, a way to shake up the culture. Catherine Jean, executive director of the Pacific Alliance Against Slavery, has worked with rape and human trafficking victims for years. And as plans advance for a Honolulu slut walk, we're asking for her take on a volatile subject. She's with us in our studio. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. I can't wait to hear what your take is on this idea. Is there a good idea at the heart of this in your mind?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the slut walk nationally was started by a college student who was a rape survivor and basically calling out slut shaming. And that's
the whole idea of asking for it. If you're in a rape trial, the victim is inevitably going to be asked, "How were you dressed?"
Which is ridiculous, yeah. And re-victimizing. However, the Hawaii slut walk was quickly changed in its mission due to some supporters such as J20 and Amnesty International's Hawaii chapter, which is a small group of a few volunteers, to actually promote a pro-pimping bill, which is technically dormant yet will be reintroduced automatically next year, HB 1533. And that's where we came into the picture, because this bill was so harmful and dangerous. We were quite shocked that the slut walk had inherited this new mission to decriminalize pimping.
Well, the language of the bill obviously doesn't say we're going to decriminalize pimping. How do they phrase it?
So what's more telling about the bill, if you are used to reading bills, is not what is written so much as what is crossed out. Yeah, and so what is crossed out are a lot of reforms to the Promoting Prostitution Code that we worked on for several years to make it very victim-centered and go after pimps and johns who are the culprits of this illegal sex trade in a very serious way.
Abettors of...
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so what this bill does would be to legalize sex tourism, which we were the first state in the nation to make that illegal. Mm-hmm. Other states have modeled their laws against sex tourism after ours. Mm-hmm. And it would also legalize pimping, which would, in the bill, deletes everything about promoting prostitution in the first degree, which is very troubling. Because if you can't prove force, fraud, or coercion, which is very challenging to prove in court, you have the second degree of the promoting prostitution offense, mm-hmm. right? Which is you still get that pimp for a Class B felony, which is a pretty serious offense with some pretty heavy jail time. The third thing that HB 1533 does would make it legal again for police to have sex with prostituted persons under the guise of an investigation. And that's something that hit national and even international news when we were responsible for making that change and making it illegal for them to do that.
Well, Kathy, I go back to my original question. Whose interests are served?
Well, unfortunately, we have a global pro-pimp movement that pretends to be victim-centered and hides behind the vernacular and the slogans behind survivors who are prostituted persons. And this pro-pimp movement has unfortunately hit Hawaii shores. Globally, the movement is funded by the likes of people like George Soros. It's a very serious movement.
Well, because the rhetoric I've seen, I first noticed this in the Village Voice, a series of articles that essentially said that these are sex workers, leave them, the kids hanging out by the Lincoln Tunnel, mm-hmm. At the lowest level of, street prostitution. Kids hanging out by the Lincoln Tunnel, pulling up to cars and things, are independent sex workers, leave them alone, they have a right to use their own bodies the way they want to, et cetera, et cetera. That's the kind of rhetoric.
And it's all lies. And
well, it takes the pimp and the coercion
right
out of the picture.
Yeah,
you've seen your fair share of that, right?
What the pro pimp movement here and globally has to do in order to further their agenda to decriminalize pimping under the guise of decriminalizing prostitution is two things. First, they have to convince the public and lawmakers that pimps are benign, nonviolent business necessities, which is completely a fabrication.
Honest brokers.
Right, which is absurd.
Yeah.
And secondly, they have to minimize rape or redefine it altogether as something that's really not so a big thing.
This is getting back to the, well, wasn't she kind of asking for it?
Even more so, yeah, even more so, heavily traumatized, prostituted persons that have been in the game for so long and have become perpetrators themselves have actually honestly redefined rape, some of them, to say that they don't feel that they were raped unless the John doesn't pay them. Now, we don't want society to get to that point.
Yeah.
That is absolutely not where we want to go legislatively or even in any sort of social credo. And so when this happened with the Slut March here in Hawaii, the Slut Walk,
yeah,
I did my due diligence to reach out to their supporters, such as I saw the Women's March as one of the main supporters. And I called their head, the chair, Sherry Campagna, and I said, do you understand what decriminalization of prostitution is? Do you understand what's in HB 1533? And she said, no. And this was actually familiar to me because these organizers have done this kind of thing before. They have pushed an agenda through a popular event and not really told their sponsors and supporters really what's involved in decriminalizing prostitution.
You mentioned Amnesty International earlier, mm-hmm, which would not come to mind as supporting what you described.
Right. So Amnesty International actually promotes the decriminalization of prostitution. But what the general public does not know is that they were infiltrated by a sex trafficker who was convicted for sex trafficking, but before that had encouraged and succeeded in encouraging Amnesty International to redefine sex work to include also not just the victims, but the pimps and brothel owners.
Because it baffles me that liberals of the Amnesty International stripe would get caught into this. You know, it seems like a kind of a woolly-headed.
Yeah, they just don't know. They just don't know any better, and they fell victim to the lies and agendas of the pro-pimp movement. Same thing happened with the UN. They recruited the largest brothel owner in the UK to encourage them to change their policies about decriminalization. And now that when you say sex work, that you have to know that that also includes the perpetrators of the crime, not just the victims, right? So that changes the entire agenda for decriminalizing prostitution. Now, when I talked to the Women's March and I talked to Sherry, she was very shocked, but she took the necessary steps, and it was very inspiring to watch her do this, to revert that mission of the Slut Walk back to its original, which is something that we can all agree, which is calling out slut shaming. It never should have been changed in the first place.
No.
Their supporters had no idea about this ulterior agenda, decriminalizing prostitution, decriminalizing pimping.
That's exactly why I wanted to talk to you about this, because it seems as if there's a shared intention that got really bent somewhere along the line.
Right. And what this also says to us is that very popular movements are often used and co-opted by lesser organizations with ulterior motives. And that's something that locally our lawmakers and policymakers and leaders need to look out for. Thankfully, with the good leadership exemplified by Sherry at the Women's March, there was no harm, no foul. This
yeah.
all was taken care of very quickly and very acutely, accurately. So the event is something now that we support because it's back to its original mission to call out slut shaming.
Well, I have a feeling we'll be addressing this in the future, and I really thank you for coming in. It's good
yeah.
to talk to you.
Thank you.
Catherine Chan is the executive director of the Pacific Alliance Against Slavery. The Honolulu Slut Walk will take place on October 14th.